Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today I have Boon Chu on the line, and he's the founder of Topalo Media. Boon, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Adam. Thanks for having me.
All right, Boone. So excited to talk to you today and to have you on the line. I know at Topalo Media, I mean, you've created some, you built some big apps for some big companies. I mean, many of the names that people will know, like Discovery Channel, iHeartRadio, WeWork, Walmart. I'm probably forgetting some, but even though you've worked with such large brands and companies like that, you're also working with, you know, in my opinion, the core of business, which is the small business owner out there. And you're also serving that clientele too. So we'll talk more about that. And I definitely want to get more into your capabilities and the types of services you offer and what small business leaders, business owners and founders need to know when they go on that journey, right? Like how are they, why they should validate their business idea before, their business app idea before spending a ton of money and developing it, and just a lot of other tips and tricks that you understand and know. So we'll get into that in a moment, though. I want to start this episode the way that we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. So, Boone, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Boone, what mission matters to you?
You know, when I started the company, I had a dream that I want to, you know, be working at a different job, but, you know, 1,000 different jobs, you know, just kind of experience life that way. But as you know, that's not possible to do. I mean, unless you switch job, you know, a couple months at a time. So what I do, my company is a venture builder. I work with startup founders and companies. And this work has allowed me to basically live 1,000 lives, right? I can just, the people that I work with, they come from all walks of life and from all different verticals. So in a way, I'm actually living their life through, you know, through working with them. And that becomes very impactful. Not only am I solving problems, that they're trying to solve, that I'm also living their experience through, you know, the projects as well. So that part is very sort of, impactful for me. And the other thing is you want the things that you do to be, you know, to mean something, right? So for me, I'm not a very transaction-based person, meaning that I don't like to just, you know, get into sort of a buy and sell kind of thing. I want to build relationship. So this matters to me a lot. And so when I get into, you know, doing businesses with people, I look into the long-term thing, meaning the relationship that you're building, not just, hey, you want something from me and I'll give it to you and you give me your cash and that's it. So everything that I do circle around that. So that's why we call our company not an agency, but a venture builder. And another thing that matters to me is how you affect people's life. And so we also call ourselves a people builder. So meaning that we build people in a sense that the team that we have, we are also building them as well. In a way, they are also our company. Like we're building them personally as well. So a lot of things we set in place, company culture and the way we treat people, they're all designed to make sure that those people, the folks that we have are happy and they're growing in a meaningful manner. So that, I would say those are sort of the things that matter to us a lot that we're doing on a day-to-day basis. Yeah.
That's awesome. Love bringing mission-based individuals and entrepreneurs on the line to share why they do what they do and really how they're making a difference out there in the marketplace. So great to have you on. And I guess maybe just to get us kicked off, tell us a little bit more about Topalo Media. Tell us a little bit more about the company.
Sure. So the evolution of the company is that when I first started the company 8 years ago, we were publishing apps ourselves. And so we've gone through a lot of, you know, the experience of publishing ads and, you know, the pain of building things that nobody wants and, you know, and also building things that people want. And then you get to see the whole dynamic. And in the, you know, in the process of building things, we have gotten our apps featured by Apple and also apps instead of getting into Apple commercial and all of that. So gradually you started to understand what you know, Apple and even users are looking for out of an app. So we took that experience and started working for big brands. And then after working with big brands, we started to see how big brands are using mobile apps to drive, you know, to create, to deliver value and capture value, right, for the audience. So we take those experiences and then start applying those principles and learnings towards startup projects as well. So in the process of doing all of that, we started working with very meaningful projects with startups. I have one founder. We created the world's first friendship and dating app for the autism community. So that was a very cool project. And this is one of the things I really love about building things with startup founders, is that the prompts are so unique and so innovative. Like the way they try to solve the problems is so innovative that it's very different than building things for bigger companies. So yeah.
That's awesome. And so even though you work with bigger companies, I mean, you're also serving the small business market and middle market. I mean, tell us a little bit more about that and that choice, because I think it's very interesting.
Yeah, it is. See, the thing is, the way we work with small companies that are quite unique, especially the founders, is that most companies that they work with, if someone wants to build an app and then they go to an agency, for example, it's a very transaction-based business, right? They pay cash and they get it done. The way we do it with the startup founders, we do it on a cash equity basis. So I think that part is very unique in a sense that we have a skin in the game. So everything that we do because of that model changes, the dynamic changes because of that. When you're working on a cash-only basis, you want to work on a project for as long as you can because you're trying to maximize the cash outcome. Of course, because we're trying to maximize the equity outcome, we have to make sure we pick the right project, meaning the project that has the potential to succeed. And we also need to make sure that the project goes out on time, because otherwise our equity portion of our setup is not going to work out. So just from that one thing alone changes the entire dynamic of the project.
So, I mean, you have a very unique vantage point, again, working with large companies, small companies, everything in between. So I'd be interested to hear your take on startup founders, you know, validating their business app idea before, you know, really committing and spending a bunch of money. Like I'm of that thought process, but what do you think? Like, weigh in on that one for me, please.
Yeah. So the validation part is very key because a lot of people like to build, and a lot of startups, they want to build. So they come to you with a vision. They want to see that vision turn into something as soon as they can. They're not patient people, right? They want to get down to building
entrepreneurs. We're thinking, whatever, like test it, right? You're like, wait a minute,
exactly.
Easy.
I think exactly. Easy. I always try to remind them that it's almost like having a baby, right? You're going to go through 10 months of labor, but there's going to be a lot of, you know, bumps on the road and things like that.
There's going to be some pain.
They don't have that size. Exactly. Pain, and you might have a difficult delivery, you know, the delivery, stuff like that, right? So all of that stuff, I think a lot of founders that are starting out, they don't understand that. And the worst thing is, after all that effort, of building the product, that you end up building something nobody wants. Right? Because in their mind, in their head, they think if I build, someone is going to come, because there's a level of optimism in a lot of entrepreneurs where they're like, oh, they get all excited about the idea and they automatically think that because the idea is good and they like it, that people are going to be flocking to the product when it's done. So that's really usually not the case. The reality and what they have in mind is that they don't always match up. So the validation part is super important in terms of making sure that you're building what the market really wants, and that you also are building just enough so that you're not spending too much time or too much cost, so that you can iterate on it, right? So you can test the idea correctly to make sure that to make sure that you're building things, because you're not going to be able to build the perfect product on from day one. In fact, that the perfection never ends, that there's no sort of a perfect product, so to speak, because you're serving multiple people and many, many people. It's very hard to please all of them at the same time. So you got to build sort of, you have to have a strategy in terms of how you build it. So maybe you want to build it simple. So the simple stuff can be more of a common denominator, and you can sort of please as many people as you can. And then you start sort of, that's one strategy, obviously. And then you can iterate on top of that. So again, validation is super important. There are different ways to validate, and spending tens of thousands of dollars to validate, I usually tell them that if it's possible to validate with $2, validate with $2. Don't go spend, thousands or hundreds, tens of thousands to do that. So I would give them different ways to do it. But also, when they come to me, I'm already sort of their first validator in a way that because I've seen so many of them, we've done so many projects, I can already tell them where things may go wrong. And so one of the things I always tell them mental model-wise is, what are the things that could cause your thing to fail, right? You got to think about that. And then you got to start going out there and ask questions to make sure that you won't hit those things. Yeah.
And so it's great advice. It's great advice. And ultimately, if the idea doesn't have legs, or if it's not something that maybe the market wants, then they cannot go through all that pain, and they can focus their attention on maybe something else that is going to do better for their business. Ultimately, that seems like what would work.
Yes.
So I guess so let's say that now they do have, in theory, they're going down this process, and they do have this idea validated. It's like, okay, this is a good idea. Like, the market wants it, and it's going to help my business. How should startup founders go about choosing the right team? Like, what kind of things should they be thinking about?
Yeah, so this is actually a very, very challenging problem. They have a few different options. Some founders try to look for a tech co-founder. Someone that knows tech that they either know or trust. A lot of times they probably even get someone, they meet someone, and then they're like, hey, I'm looking for a tech person. Can you come work with me on this mission, this vision? There are pros and cons with every single approach. Looking for a tech co-founder is one of the more challenging things to do. Mm-hmm. Because even with that co-founder, what they're actually looking for a lot of times is someone that is cheap, so they don't have to spend a lot of money. And then they work with that person, they give them equity into a cash, and they hope that, when things take off, that person, most likely that person is already working somewhere else, right, when they get them to be their co-founder. So now you're dealing with someone that has a sort of engagement with another company, and they're doing their thing with you and off time. And so you don't really know if they have that much time to contribute to your thing. Another thing is, let's just say that even they don't have a full time, they have money to sustain themselves, and they can work on your thing for free or for little money until it takes off. But what if that person is not someone that you can work well with? So, so there's risk there as well. And then you probably end up giving a lot of equity to that person, and then you don't. So partnership fallout is actually one of the very common problems with startups, is that, you end up basically marrying the wrong person, and you don't get along, and this whole thing, just working with that person becomes a miserable thing. So then the next approach is, if you don't want to go down the route of getting a tech co-founder right away, is that you find someone and then you hire them. And so the common approach is going out to look for an agency. The problem with the agency is that, like I mentioned earlier, they work with you on a cash basis, meaning you pay them cash, you tell them what you want to build, and then they build it for you. But the problem is, as a startup founder, you actually need a lot of advice and a lot of guidance, as a sounding board, to make sure you're building the right thing and you're building quick enough so that you can validate and, and prove out the product market fit. But because they are working on your thing on a cash basis, they have no intention to do that. The longer they work on a project, the more money they make. And so they're not going to come to you and say, some people will, but a lot of them would just be happy to build whatever you want to build. And so you end up, there's a high chance that you end up building things, that you don't need, and you spend way too much time and money on it. Now, some founders will then say that, if I find someone that is semi, first of all, you obviously, if you're not tech, it's very difficult to also vet which agency is a very is good for you. So then what comes down to later on is that because they have no way to vet their technical ability to execute, they then rely on the pricing to decide which person they should go with. So then they end up picking the agency that charges them the least. And so that becomes a problem because the agencies are now competing on the price bidding, right? They're on your project. So you end up getting the cheapest person to execute your thing, but you know they need to make money. So what that means is that if you're paying them $10 an hour to $15 an hour to build your thing, they're probably paying their guys like $5-$10, right? They have to maximize the profit by squeezing their people. And so you're really getting sort of the least capable people to work on your thing. So that's already a problem that you're sort of a seed of a problem that you're sort of sowing right from the start.
Yeah, it's like the system's
that's
broken
why I
right there in the beginning.
Exactly, because it's almost like you're getting into a relationship for the wrong reason, right? Like it's almost like I'm dating you or marrying you because you're rich or because you're that's the wrong reason to be getting into a relationship. And so I think the agency model, because they don't have a skin in the game, and really the skin in the game is really making cash, they don't align. You don't have the alignment right from the start. So then, for you to get things done on time and within budget and even building the right things, kind of difficult with that model. So then what else is left? Like what are the options do you have? So this is the reason why, I basically, sculpted our company, turned our company from a traditional agency model to a venture building model. So the way, as I mentioned, is that we work with them on a cash equity basis. The cash is just enough to cover the cost, so that we can keep the operation running. And then the equity is what we're banking on. So we're working, so this requires a long-term thinking, meaning that you don't get money from equity for a few years to come. So first of all, you have to make sure you're building the right product. You're picking the right startup founder, meaning if you don't think that they can last in terms of them leading a company, you're not going to work with them. So it's more than just the idea. You're going to make sure that you're working with the right founder as well. So all of these things, you get alignment because you have the right people, the right project, the right idea. All of that stuff has to be sort of in the right place for this to pan out. Even then, it could still fail. The chance of it failing is always higher than it succeeding, right? So, but because the alignment is there on a cash equity model, this is, again, I'm not saying that this is the only factor you look at when it comes to working with someone for your app idea or any idea. But I think this is a key component, is that the person should have a skin in the game to make sure that you guys are aligned there, to make sure that they have your interest in mind. Yeah.
What a great model. Like, I get it completely. So you're sitting on the same side of the table with the client. You're incented to get the project done. Obviously, you at least have to break even on your costs, but you're banking on the equity on the back end to really make your profit. And so you're really making yourself as you are actually making yourself a long-term partner, to where as the company grows and other things happen, like, you still have a vested interest in making sure that tech works and that it's also evolving with the needs of the company. Am I right on that, or?
100%. I'll give you an example. We worked on a mental health for Gen Z, a platform for Gen Z, recently. So at the start of the project, we have our designer working on the design of the app. And I looked at the design and it just, it just wasn't cutting it, right? It's just not good enough. So we took the designer out of the project and we put someone else a different person into the project, actually an external person that we thought would be better executing the project into. So mind you, this is not someone that is within our company, someone outside. This will never happen in an agency model, because agency wants to make money. So as long as they have someone that can somewhat execute your thing, and as long as they think that you cannot tell that what is good or not.
Yeah, that would never happen.
It will never happen. They're just happy enough for that person to execute your thing. So, but because we know that by putting that person, we're not going to get optimal results. We just pull them, that person, we literally fire that person from that project, right? So, that kind of mindset, you never get that. So you technically want someone your partner, the person that's building the stuff for you, to be watching your back. But agency, no, they watch your back first before they watch your back. So that's one example of how powerful the equity model is that they don't, if they don't do the right thing, they're going to suffer the consequence. Whereas with the cash model, they don't suffer the consequence. They, you suffer the consequence, actually, if you pick the wrong team. They don't suffer the consequence if they pick the wrong technology, they design the wrong, you know, the, they don't create a good product. All of that, they don't suffer anything from that, from the, you know, from not being able to execute your thing correctly. Yeah.
Wow. Well, Boone, I just have to tell you, it's been great having you on the show today. If somebody's listening to this and they're a founder and they want to learn more about Topalo Media, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, so they can go to my website, topalo.com, T-A-P-P-O-L-O.com, or they can email me at boone@topalo.com, and I'll be there to help them vet the idea and make sure that they're doing it the right thing. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, again, and we'll put all that information in the show notes so that our guests and our audience can just head right on over and click on it and check out your website. And speaking of the guests, if this is your in the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters, we're a platform that's all about bringing on entrepreneurs, executives, and founders, and having them share, you know, why they do what they do, how they do it, like how we can all learn from their experiences together to all progress forward. If that sounds like the type of content that's interesting to you or innovative, then we definitely welcome you to hit that subscribe button, because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line, and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Boone, really, it has been a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks again for coming on.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.